What? Mr. Bagthorpe, who had been about to enter the study, whirled about and went straight back through the front door. Mother! He yelled. Daisy! William, with an attempt at facetiousness, cupped his hands together and bawled, Arioch! Mr. Bagthorpe bounded through the shrubbery, followed by the rest. There on the lawn beyond were Grandma and Daisy and one of the decorators. The other, Jack perceived, was up a tree. What in the name of heaven is going on? Demanded Mr. Bagthorpe. Moderate your voice, please, Henry, Grandma replied. I am not deaf, and Daisy is of a sensitive disposition. These gentlemen are very kindly putting up my floodlights for me. Are very kindly what? Repeated Mr. Bagthorpe disbelievingly. He looked wildly about him and saw lengths of cable looped from tree to tree and lying in coils. He also spotted the decorator, who was up the tree. He was struggling to lash a floodlight to a low branch. "Shan't be a minute, sir," the decorator shouted. "Nearly finished." "Oh, dear," said Mrs. Bagthorpe faintly. When the decorator climbed down, Mr. Bagthorpe was very rude to him. "I was given my instructions by Mrs. Bagthorpe Senior," said the decorator stiffly, "and I obeyed them." "You are being paid to paint walls, not loop lights round in trees," gritted Mr. Bagthorpe. "We are aware of that," the decorator told him. "Was you expecting your mother to go climbing trees at her age?" "She can climb whatever she likes," returned Mr. Bagthorpe. "The only instruction I received," said the second decorator, "was to inform your good lady if I was to see a small child with curls. That child is here, madam, as you will observe, and I am duly reporting it." "Thank you, Mr. Swan," said Mrs. Bagthorpe weakly. "Reporting it?" yelled Mr. Bagthorpe. "We can see she's here, for God's sake. And where are these lights from? What are they for?" "They are from the vicar, Henry," Grandma told him. "Thank you so much, gentlemen. I am most grateful." She opened her purse and gave 2-pound notes to the foreman under Mr. Bagthorpe's furious glare. The decorators ambled off back to the house, and Mr. Bagthorpe turned his attention to the unholy alliance. "Mother," he began, "what in the name of all that is wonderful is going on?" "There is no need to space your words out at me like that, Henry," Grandma told him. "I am not interfering with your life. Pray do not interfere with mine." "Grandma Bag and me's going to make the longest daisy chain in the whole world, Uncle Bag," Daisy then piped up. "We'll be in the Beginner's Book of Records." Jack at once saw the light. "You are what?" "I think you heard, Henry," said Grandma, "and you are still spacing out your words." "Will you help, Uncle Bag?" asked Daisy. This optimistic request met with a sound more like an animal growl than a human rejoinder, and Mr. Bagthorpe turned on his heel and lurched back toward the house, holding his head with his hands. "Oh, dear," said Mrs. Bagthorpe. "Mother, is this true?" "Perfectly true, Laura," replied Grandma, "and I am astonished that there should be all this ridiculous fuss. I should have thought that making a daisy chain was the most harmless occupation in the world. I should have thought that even Henry could not have taken exception to it. One really begins to wonder if one can ever do anything right." "We had better go and have a cup of tea," said Mrs. Bagthorpe, weakly, at length. "Whatever have floodlights to do with daisy chains?" This point was clarified over tea in the kitchen, when Grandma outlined her scheme to an interested audience which did not include Mr. Bagthorpe. Grandma was a schemer of the first order. If she had a project in hand, she executed it with the ruthless efficiency of a military genius. The present case was no exception. "The reason for the floodlights," she explained, "was that darkness might fall the following day before the daisy chain was long enough. She had telephoned the vicar and asked for the loan of the floodlights that had been used for the Son et Lumière performance in the vicarage garden by the Ladies' Fellowship." In this, Grandma had played the part of Queen Elizabeth I, and had, according to Mr. Bagthorpe, been playing it ever since. "If necessary, Daisy and I will work through till dawn breaks the following day," Grandma informed them all. No one had reason to doubt this. "It would be a pity, however," she continued, "for an elderly lady and a delicate child to have to sit out all night in a heavy dew." "It would be madness, mother," agreed Mrs. Bagthorpe instantly, visualizing Aunt Celia's reaction to this proposal. "I think you must forget all about it." "Also," continued Grandma, ignoring her, "there has been an unfortunate development during the afternoon. We wish, as I have told you, to establish a record for the longest daisy chain in the world. I believed this to be an entirely original enterprise. However, I find that I am mistaken. One of Daisy's friends has told us that a record for this already exists." "And there aren't enough of us," Daisy chipped in. "We've got enough daisies. We've got bags and bags of daisies, but we haven't got enough of us." The Bagthorpes waited for this obscure utterance to be clarified. "What Daisy is saying," Grandma told them obligingly, "is that we shall have to enlist your help. Fetch me that book, Daisy." Daisy trotted out, and soon reappeared carrying the Guinness Book of Records, which was beginning to look very thumbed around the edges, having been gone through many times with a fine-toothed comb by Bagthorpes bent on immortality. "I will read the appropriate entry," Grandma told them. Accordingly, she read, "The longest daisy chain on record is one of 3,234 feet, 985 meters, made of 18,000 daisies by the members of the Deanery Players, Harrogate, North Yorkshire, England, in 8.5 hours on the 12th of July, 1975. "Crikey," Rosie exclaimed, "3,000 and how many feet?" "I don't think you'll manage it, Grandma," Jack told her. "Precisely," she nodded. "The chain, you will note, was not made single-handed by an elderly lady and a delicate child. It was made by some people called the Deanery Players. I do not know who these people are or how many of them there were, but I should imagine they were in rude health and numbered more than two." "There's only two of us, you see," Daisy elaborated helpfully. "Daisy and I could, of course, make the attempt to establish a record for the longest chain made by a 4-year-old child and her grandmother," Grandma said. "But if we all helped," cried Rosie, "we'd all be in. Instead of those player people, it would say, the Bagthorpes. It might even give all our names separately. That'd show that, Esther." "That is exactly my point," Grandma nodded. "I am willing to share with you all my chance of immortality."